Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're confident when it comes to your work and life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same confidence when it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home. It lets you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. William Shakespeare wrote The Tragedy of Julius Caesar in probably 1599. In 2017, it's hot. The story of a rising autocrat in ancient Rome cut down in the Roman Senate, and how Rome descended into turmoil after his death, with a public theater in New York casting essentially Donald Trump as Caesar. Conservative pundits have cried foul. Sponsors have pulled out. This hour on Point, the collision of art and politics right now in Julius Caesar. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is it wrong to depict the assassination of a current leader, even if it's put in historical terms, dramatic terms? Should the public theater face consequences? What role, what responsibility should theater, art, literature have in society? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Lots of heat as this play has opened in New York. This was the director, Oscar Eustace, director of the Public Theater's production of Julius Caesar, defending the play's message in his opening night speech on Monday.
Anybody who watched this play tonight, and I'm sorry there's going to be a couple of spoiler alerts here, but we'll know that neither Shakespeare nor the public theater could possibly advocate violence as a solution to political problems, and certainly not assassination. This play, on the contrary, warns about what happens when you try to preserve democracy by non-democratic means. And again, spoiler alert, it doesn't end up too good.
All right. We're not promoting assassination. And indeed, the play goes way beyond that, looks at deeper dangers when the rule of law begins to fall apart. But it has got Caesar pretty much portrayed as Donald Trump. June 7th, TV show Inside Edition reported on the New York Public Theater's staging of Julius Caesar. Here was their report a little bit.
In the new version, you see a bloodied Caesar, his white dress shirt soaked in blood. There was mixed reaction about this new twist.
I didn't like that they made this person who looks like Trump get assassinated. It's not a good message.
I don't think it's disrespectful for the president to be murdered on stage. It's not really the president's theater. Everybody knows it's theater.
It's not the president, it's theater. And it's not just any theater. It's Julius Caesar, been staged again and again and again. Barack Obama was cast, Caesar was portrayed as Barack Obama in a Minnesota staging not so long ago. But just a little bit here of the sound of Julius Caesar from the 1970 film adaptation, starred John Gielgud as Julius Caesar. In this scene, famously, we all know, Caesar is warned by a soothsayer to beware the Ides of March.
I hear a voice shriller than all the music cry, Caesar! Speak. Caesar is turned to hear.
Beware the Ides of March! Beware the Ides of March.
What man is that?
A soothsayer bids you beware the Ides of March.
Set him before me. Let me see his face.
Fellow, come from the throng. Look upon Caesar.
What sayest thou to me now? Speak once again.
Beware the Ides of March.
He is a dreamer. Let us leave him. Pass.
There from Julius Caesar, the film doesn't turn out too well for Julius Caesar, of course. He's assassinated in the Roman Senate in the Ides of March. But in Shakespeare's great play, it doesn't turn out well for Rome either. All of this very hot right now in New York and around the country. Joining me from New York is Michael Paulson, theater reporter for the New York Times. He's been covering this production and the controversy surrounding it. You can read his interview with the director, Oscar Eustace, at our website, onpointradio.org. Michael Paulson, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Hi, Tom.
Can you describe for us, you've seen the production, how is Caesar depicted?
Well, Caesar looks a lot like Donald Trump. His hair's a little more blonde than the current president's, but he is dressed in contemporary dress, a blue suit with a red tie. He has Trumpian speech mannerisms and gestures, and his wife wears very fashionable clothing and speaks with an Eastern European accent.
Okay.
There's no mistaking the comparison.
And describe the setting for us and the public theater, which is putting this on. This is in Central Park. If our listeners around the country were there watching, what's the setting and what's this theater group's background, Michael?
Yeah, so this is one of the great New York City summer traditions. For nearly 60 years, Shakespeare has been done in Central Park. There's an open-air amphitheater at the heart of the park. The productions are free. People line up for hours on the day of the production to get tickets. The amphitheater seats 1,800, 1,900 people. You arrive and, you know, the sun is setting, night falls as you're watching the production. There are planes overhead. You hear sounds from around the park. It's a very lovely setting for Shakespeare, and it's very popular. All the productions tend to sell out, although they're free. They're full, as this one has been as well.
Julius Caesar, very often a political play. I mean, it is political in its very essence. It goes to Shakespeare. Some of his deepest insights are about how politics work. This is not the first time that what staging has been with a highly political message. I've got a little tape here, Michael Paulson, from an Orson Welles production in the 1930s. His Mercury Theater adapted Shakespeare's Julius Caesar for stage and radio. Modern adaptation evoked comparisons at that time to fascist Italy, Nazi Germany. In this scene, Cassius, played by Martin Gable, laments that he remains in the shadows while Caesar rises to power. He's trying to persuade Brutus that it is in Rome's best interest to stop Caesar.
And this man has now become a god. And we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves. Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Michael Paulson with the New York Times. How did this roll out and become so controversial?
So immediately after the election last fall, the Public Theater, which oversees, it's a nonprofit in New York and it oversees Shakespeare in the Park, decided that they wanted to do Julius Caesar this summer. And they're not alone. There are a lot of theaters across the United States that have been doing productions of Julius Caesar this year. Because, as you say, it's a provocative way to explore the nature of politics and power and democracy. But the play, Brutus and his co-conspirators are attempting, in a way, to protect democracy against what they see as the autocratic impulses of Caesar. But their efforts to protect democracy lead them to assassinate him, and everything goes wrong and terribly for them. They all wind up dead. So, this production was announced in February. It was framed as a commentary on contemporary American politics. It began production in late May. A couple thousand people saw it a night, and things were fine, mostly, but a handful of people found it offensive, problematic. And somebody shot a bootleg video of the assassination scene in which Caesar is stabbed by his fellow senators. It's quite bloody. That video wound up, as you said in the intro, on a conservative media site, and controversy ensued, and here we are.
Sponsors have pulled out. Delta, Bank of America, anybody else?
Well, American Express has distanced itself from the production, said it didn't give money, but that it doesn't approve of what's going on there either. And you're right, this production, All Shakespeare in the Park, is free for patrons, and the way that is financed is in part by donations from corporations and from individuals. So Delta and Bank of America both were targeted in a kind of viral outrage campaign where people were tweeting at them or calling them and saying, how can you support this production? And they both made statements in which they said that they were not financially contributing. They pulled their money from the production and said that they didn't approve of the depiction.
Donald Trump Jr. coming out saying, I wonder if public monies have been used for this. And the NEA carefully coming out and saying, we have nothing to do with funding this, the National Endowment for the Arts.
Yeah, in fact, I was there last night, and the public has now inserted a piece of paper in the program that says over the years the public has received funding from the NEA for specific productions. However, no public funding from the NEA has been provided in support of Julius Caesar. The NEA, whose funding has been threatened during the Trump administration, has been very forceful about distancing itself from this production. However, the production gets another form of public financing, which is support from the city of New York. And the politics of the city of New York are very different from those of the federal government at the moment. And the city of New York has very forcefully said that it will continue to support the public's efforts, that it believes in free speech and in artistic freedom, and it's not going to get involved in critiquing how any particular Shakespeare production is framed.
The director, Oscar Eustace, saying this is about much more than assassination. This is important. He's in putting on a show like this. He said here before the audience was their job.
Hamlet said the purpose of playing from the first till today was and is to hold up as 'twere a mirror to nature, to show the age his form and pressure. Excuse the male pronoun, it's what he used. That's what we do here in the theater. We try to hold a mirror up to nature. It's what Shakespeare was doing, it's what we're doing. When we hold the mirror up to nature, often what we reveal are disturbing, upsetting, provoking things. Thank God, that's our job.
Thank God, that's our job. That Oscar Eustace, the director of The Tragedy of Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare's great play, on right now and at the center of controversy in New York. Michael Paulson with The New York Times, theater reporter there. Please stand by. We're going to dig into Shakespeare's work and its message and the heat that has come out of this staging in New York City. You can join us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
We're talking this hour about the collision of art and politics in a New York production of William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, with Caesar essentially portrayed as Donald Trump in a play about power and assassination, consequences, patriotism, passion, and the unnerving fragility of the rule of law. Authoritarianism thrown in there as well for good measure. You can join us this hour. What about the long tradition in the arts and theater of bringing contemporary circumstances, even politics, right into theater, using art to make us think? Does that apply here? Were we upset when Caesar was portrayed as Barack Obama? When LBJ was portrayed as Macbeth? Is it right to be upset over Donald Trump being pulled into this play now? Michael Paulson, theater reporter for The New York Times, is with us. He's seen it, written about the controversy that swirled around it. Let's get just a little more feeling for the play itself. Here's the scene, the famous scene. This is first just before Julius Caesar is murdered in the Roman Senate. This is from the 1950 film adaptation. Caesar's played by Harold Tasker here. He delivers that monologue that, you know, maybe seals his fate, but he's boldly proclaiming himself as constant as the North Star, the only man strong enough to lead Rome.
I could be well moved if I were a Jew, but I am constant as the Northern Star, whose true fixed and lasting quality there is no fellow in the firmament. The skies are painted with unnumbered sparks, and they are fire, and every one doth shine, but there's but one and all doth hold his place.
the North Star of Rome, Caesar, the immovable, and then, immediately in the play, comes the assassination scene.
O Caesar!
Hence, wilt thou lift up Olympus?
Great Caesar! Speak hands for me!
Bruce. True Brute, false Caesar.
Liberty! Freedom! Tyrant is dead! Red hands proclaim! Riot about the streets!
Come to the pulpits and cry out, liberty, freedom, and enfranchisement!
You had liberty, freedom, tyranny is dead, the cries there after the death of Caesar in William Shakespeare's great play, The Tragedy of Julius Caesar. Michael Paulson is with us as well right now from New York is James Shapiro, professor of English at Columbia University, focuses on Shakespeare, medieval, early drama. He's Shakespeare's scholar in residence at the Public Theater and worked on this production of Julius Caesar as a historical consultant. He's the author of the 2006 book, A Year in the Life of William Shakespeare, 1599, that often cited as the year when Shakespeare delivered Julius Caesar. James Shapiro, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Hi, Tom.
This is fraught. I mean, as we talk about this right now, we're talking about this on a day when we have seen violence in Washington, D.C., congressional baseball practice and shots ringing out at a time when there's a lot of talk about autocracy and what we're witnessing in the White House and where it falls in the spectrum of handling the highest position in the land. What do you think of how, I mean, I know you consult to the Public Theater. What do you think of how they've handled the depiction of Caesar here as pretty much Donald Trump, Jim Shapiro?
I thought it was and still think it is an extraordinary landmark and probably an historical production. And I say that having advised on the recent Royal Shakespeare Company that's on in England and other productions of this play in the past, I'm often brought in because I spent a decade or so researching what Shakespeare was doing in the year he wrote this play and several others. And one of the things that's important to understand is Shakespeare's writing at a time of great political uncertainty.
In England.
There had been – in England. In 1599, mm-hmm. there had been – threats against Queen Elizabeth's life. She was an aging queen without an heir. No one knew what was going to come next. Everyone was terrified that the nation would be plunged into civil war that it experienced, that it had experienced a century earlier that Shakespeare wrote so brilliantly about in his history plays. So baked into its moment of creation is this political uncertainty, is this propensity for division and for violence, as we've seen tragically today in Washington. And great directors recognize this and understand that in staging this play, they have to speak to their cultural moment. We don't revive Shakespeare just because the poetry is great, which it is. We go to see it, and the lines around Central Park have been very long, and I haven't seen an empty seat in the half dozen times that I've seen this production. We listen to NPR to find out what's happening in the news, and then we go to the Delacorte Theater in Shakespeare to see Shakespeare make sense of it for us. There's no better way I can think of to explain it. So the idea of trying to suppress a form, a media that helps us understand where our country is and where it's heading is a far more dangerous thing than it seems to me staging the death of a man who in certain respects resembles Donald Trump on stage.
The criticism has been that this is just wrong to have it depicted as a sitting president, a controversial president of that I guess almost in the criticism is the allegation that there's almost a provocation to assassination here or something. That's
just not right. And I'll tell you why. I've sat through the scene that you just played a clip of where Caesar is assassinated, and it would be very easy for a director and a production to whip up the crowd as it's whipped up moments later when Anthony reads the will and make us applaud that death of that man who resembles Donald Trump who's lying there bloody on the floor of the stage. in all the productions, performances of this production that I've seen, only once did I hear one person clap for about two claps and then reduced to silence. We're horrified. This production makes us want to feel the horror of that. And those who are circulating a clip of this are like people who talk about a movie with full knowledge, having seen the coming attractions. That's a tiny slice of a very complex play and does a great disservice to Shakespeare and to this production by ripping that out of context.
Michael Paulson, how would you convey Shakespeare's message here about a republic responding to a rising autocrat, about the consequences of, in Caesar's case, a brutal assassination for the Republic itself? What's the deep message from Shakespeare?
So I talked, opening night was Monday night, and I talked to the director, Oscar Eustace, after. Mm-hmm. And he called this an anxiety nightmare parable about our current state. There's no question that the folks who murder Caesar think that they are taking down a potential dictator in order to restore democracy. But it goes terribly wrong for them. They lose the people, they lose the nation, they lose their lives. It's a cautionary tale about using anti-democratic means in an attempt to protect democracy. And it's quite clear, if you watch the production, that that is the message of the show. And there's no question, I was there again last night, there is no applauding the murder of Caesar. People are stunned by the brutality and the violence of it. I think it's also important to note that this is all taking place in a larger context in which the nation is obviously incredibly polarized about the current political scene, and in which there are people who are very critical of Trump, and there are people who are very upset about that criticism of Trump. And this debate about this staging is largely taking place among people who haven't seen it, but who are, either defending or criticizing Trump based on their own feelings about the presidency and not really their feelings about this play by William Shakespeare.
Brutus, in this story, of course, a close friend of Julius Caesar, but then also one of those who wields the sword, the knife, in the assassination of Caesar. And he struggles with that, his closeness to Caesar, and yet his sense of patriotism, of what the country needs. Here's a scene from the 1953 film adaptation. This is Brutus, played by James Mason, explaining to the crowd after why their beloved leader was assassinated. He says he was compelled to act out of love of country. And here's showing his struggle between patriotism and someone he cared for deeply.
Romans! Countrymen! Be patient till the last. Hear me for my cause and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honor and have respect to mine honor that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom and awake your senses that you may the better judge.
Caesar! Caesar!
If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus' love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves, than that Caesar were dead to live all free men?
No!
No!
William Shakespeare taking us deep into tough political territory there, and this play, of course, on this week in New York. Michael Paulson is with us from the New York Times, James Shapiro at Columbia, a historic advisor to the Public Theater on the historic backdrop of Julius Caesar, the tragedy of Julius Caesar. Lots of calls. Seymour in Atlanta, Georgia. Seymour, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm 71. And I've participated in playing in the Julius Caesar play ever since I was a child of 12 in Guyana, in the British colony of
All
Guyana.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Caesar has been portrayed as different leaders over the years that I've been familiar with the work. It's simply the art and the poetry of Shakespeare. And it is pertinent to the times whenever there is an issue between authoritarianism and democracy. I think the bigger issue in this particular situation is that Delta Airlines and Bank of America have withdrawn their support because of what looks like a political issue. We should be encouraging all those companies to support the art so people can see it and come to their own conclusions. It's a despicable form of censorship to withdraw the support for the theater over the way in which a character is described.
Seymour, in Atlanta, I really appreciate your call and a significant withdrawal. I mean, Bank of America, a major supporter here, Delta in there as well, that now gone. But, of course, sharp criticism here as well. We're looking at Julius Caesar in Central Park and Donald Trump as Caesar. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Seymour, 71, who's been in this play since he was a boy, saying, not the right way to go. Let's get one more. Daniel in Somerville, Massachusetts. Daniel, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Great to be on the air. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with, as Mr. Paulson was saying, a lot of people are mounting this play currently. I'm with a theater company here in Boston, Praxis Stage,
mm-hmm.
and we're putting it on this summer. And we recently sent out kind of a satiric press release to kind of, as we said, get ahead of this issue, where we disavowed any money coming our way from Bank of America or Delta Airlines.
Okay.
You know, and we also... In our commentary, we wanted to make a point similar to the professor was making, is that this art exists, culture exists to explain our culture to, art exists to explain our culture to us, you know, and Shakespeare, more, you know, as well as any other or more than any other, is somebody who really, you know, transcends time and we can really see our contemporary age in.
What did you think of the New York staging, the Central Park staging?
Well, I did happen to see that. I saw it in preview. I saw it on Thursday, and I liked it a lot. I thought it was, you know, the brilliant production, brilliant actors up and down the line. I thought it was tremendous, you know. And
depiction of Caesar as essentially Trump?
Well, essentially, I'll tell you honestly, for me, it was a little bit on the nose. I mean, these are brilliant theater makers.
On the nose, meaning too literal in the...
Too much of an elbow into my ribs, sort of on the nose. Mm-hmm. When Rome descends into civil war, to have the protesters sort of represent Occupy protesters or Black mm-hmm. Lives Matter protesters seemed to me to be a little bit too... as I said before, on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
But for our production, we're going to play it a little bit more. We're going to let the play speak for itself in a lot of ways, and we're going to, you know that the play does speak for itself and does comment on the age that we live in, you know, and I think that it's important. Your previous caller also made a beautiful point about, you know, we're living in a society now where the corporations are pushing us around. And Bank of America, for instance, had a $1.9 billion tax refund last year and a $1.3 trillion bailout from the Fed and the Reserve when the banks crashed.
Yeah, it gets complicated. We get it, Dan. I'm coming up on the break here, but I appreciate your point. There, a theater man himself who's been seen says he might not have made it quite so specifically Donald Trump, but I mean, Michael Paulson, we look back, 2012, the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis put on Julius Caesar, also received backing from Delta, and it was a contemporary remake. Caesar there depicted as a tall, lanky, black man. Many people there saw a reference to Barack Obama. Why do you think this president, this time, this depiction has drawn such heat, Michael?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the anger of our times and to the role that social media plays in effectively amplifying outrage. And it also speaks about the vulnerability that corporations have, their difficulty finding a kind of middle ground where they're not offending anyone left or right. So the arts in America are dependent on private funding. We don't have a significant amount of public funding of the arts here. And these companies are super vulnerable to these kinds of campaigns that we've seen repeatedly this year. Think about Bill O'Reilly et al. There's a lot of anger that is expressed and targeted then at corporate interests that back either news programs through advertising or cultural programs through sponsorship. So we're seeing this confluence of social media and outrage and corporate money all come together this summer in Central Park.
Right in front of our faces. When does this production wrap up, Michael?
Sunday.
So it's not as if it goes on forever, but the controversy hot right now. Michael Paulson with the New York Times, please stand by. James Shapiro, professor at Columbia University. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour about the collision of art and politics in a New York production of William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, the public theater putting it on in Central Park, some controversy about its portrayal of Caesar as essentially Donald Trump. It is a play, of course, in which Julius Caesar is assassinated, as of course happened, Rome falls into turmoil following that. Complex message from William Shakespeare, simplified and hot right now in our public conversation. James Shapiro is with us. He's a professor of English at Columbia University. He's advised on the historical backdrop to the play for the public theater. Michael Paulson is here, theater reporter for the New York Times. Charlotte Canning joins us in a moment from the University of Texas at Austin. You can join us as well. What do you see in this collision of art and politics? This, of course, the play in which Brutus is part of the assassination. He says, "Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more." To protect it from an autocrat. But the lesson Shakespeare brings here is that when the rule of law is lost from many angles, things really, really crumble in a hurry. Here's Marlon Brando, starred as Mark Antony, and of course the famous funeral oration, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears." Here he talks, swaying the crowd against the conspirators. It's already been done. The murder is done. Here Mark Antony begins to whip up the crowd. Rome will descend into civil war. Here's the beginning.
"Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears! I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was ambitious. If it was so, it was a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar answered it. Here under leave of Brutus and the rest, for Brutus is an honorable man, so are they all honorable men, come I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me. But Brutus says he was ambitious. And Brutus is an honorable man."
Marlon Brando as Mark Antony. Of course, that refrain, "Brutus is an honorable man," becomes highly satiric, and the crowd is whipped up into a frenzy. Things go badly. "Cry havoc, let slip the dogs of war." We may hear that as well. Patricia in New Orleans, thank you for calling. You're on the air. What do you think, Patricia?
Hi, Tom. I agree with much of what's been said about this actually is a cautionary tale, and it does suit our times. But I have one question. Apparently, this was done when Obama was president, and he was depicted as Caesar, and of course, the same thing happened. Yet there doesn't, as far as I know, seem to have been the moral outrage. And so I guess I'm a little perplexed about why now it seems to have caused so much controversy and had such an impact, particularly with the corporations withdrawing funding.
We heard Michael Paulson on that. James Shapiro, what's your take on why so fraught now?
I agree with what Michael said, but I'd only add this, that we're living at a time in this country's history where it's increasingly difficult to speak across the cultural divide. And Shakespeare is the one thing that those on the left as well as those on the right cherish. And it seems to me dangerous, not just misguided, but dangerous to try to close off the conversation that we can have through Shakespeare. And historically, going back to before we became the United States, Julius Caesar back in 1770 was one of those plays Americans turned to understand what it meant to break with the tyranny of Britain and form this country. And if you look at historically the productions over time, including those that you've played clips from, you can come to terms a little bit better with our cultural past. So it's not only about our past, but it's also about the future and the possibility of working past the differences that have grown so large of late and are magnified by social media.
Is it ironic to you, James Shapiro, that we've got really conservative pundits now howling about this? And, I mean, you know, they make their case, but traditionally conservatives would have been the most vocal in opposing tyranny.
I'm a patriotic American. I believe in this country and its future, but I'm also a cultural historian. And there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what theater does when someone could pull their funding on the grounds that this is provocative. Shakespeare wrote provocative plays. I can't think of a play that he wrote in which somebody doesn't speak truth to power. Queen Elizabeth knew this, King James knew this, and they invited his company again and again to court because they understood, even though those were one-person rule countries, that you had to give voice, that even rulers had to hear resistance, disagreement, points of view that were not the same as they held. And I think once we head down on a course in this country where corporations and governments that try to defund the NEA and the NEH, which is now being bruited, that marks a very, very dark path for this country.
But Michael Paulson, you're there in New York. What if it would have been a production by the Public Theater right there in the heart of the nation's media capital, New York City, depicting Barack Obama? Now, we know what happened in Minnesota at the Guthrie Theater, but what if it had been right there, Barack Obama, at a fraught moment, and a tall black actor being assassinated on the stage? It's not hard to imagine there might have been Democratic unease with that or more.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, although, as you mentioned, this actually happened in 2012, yeah. And it wasn't just in Minnesota. That production traveled around the country. Now, part of what's happened here, of course, is that the Public Theater is, you know, arguably the most successful nonprofit theater in the United States of America. We're in the heart of Central Park in New York City, so the production is, by definition, going to be more visible. And if you're interested in the culture wars, it's hard to imagine a more appealing stand-in for kind of liberal America than Manhattan. So I think this kind of production gets seized on for reasons that don't have all that much to do with what's actually happening on stage.
Guy in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Guy, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say real quick, with what I'm seeing in this country lately, it's like everything I've read about pre-World War II Germany. Now they're going after the arts. I mean, my God, it's poetic license. I saw the last 8 years how Barack Obama and his family were talked about, laughed at. Really, how thin-skinned can you get? This is a play. It's Julius Caesar. It's thousands of years old. This is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Guy, we'll take it right there. And one more. Craig in Woodbury, Connecticut. Craig, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for letting me speak.
Sure.
I think that Trump is probably the worst president we've had since George W. Bush and Warren G. Harding. I think he's just horrible. But I think a production like this at this time, where the people that favor Trump and that voted for him are ones that elected him on the basis of sound bites like lock her up and build the wall and things that are totally devoid of analysis or understanding of the political issues that really face our nation, and that voted for someone who, you know, is really going to hurt them. I think that as we, you know, as Trump's term progresses, and the people that voted for him see how much the policies are going to hurt him, that is what's going to make a difference. Instead, this production is something incendiary because the people are going to take this issue of killing Trump on stage, which I think is a horrible notion, and they're going to blow it all out of proportion, and it's going to provide fuel for analysis and understanding, and is going to feed the right-wing talk shows. This is all they're going to be talking about, and I think this is unfortunate.
Craig, let me hold it right there, if you'd be kind enough. I very much appreciate your perspective on this. I want to go straight to Austin, Texas, and Charlotte Canning to come in on just this angle. She's professor of drama at the University of Texas at Austin, director of the Oscar G. Bruckett Center for Theater and Theater History and Criticism. Charlotte Canning, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you make of our caller in Connecticut saying he's worried that this is this provokes exactly the kind of division that the country may not need, and incites a response that may miss a bigger points, more important points?
Well, I think as both my colleagues on the show, Michael and James, have indicated, we're also talking about something that has nothing to do with theater and has to do with a very specific set of political tactics that certain groups use to rile their base and keep people excited and ignoring perhaps other things that are going on.
But the public theater knew this was provocative. I mean,
and
there's no saying they shouldn't be provocative. I mean, the arts must be at some point, but it's not as though they came in like some kind of naives here, naives.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think from what Oscar Eustace has said publicly, they felt that this play was an excellent way to promote a democratic discussion about where we are as a country. I think, though, that what's interesting to me is that Caesar actually has much fewer lines than the other leading characters and actually isn't on stage that much. And I think in a way this excitement has been a parable for the nation, that we focus on Trump but not what's happening around him. And if you follow the scene around the funeral oration, which you played Marlon Brando saying, before Mark Anthony speaks, the crowd is happy that Caesar was killed and furiously anti-Caesar. By the end of Mark Antony's speech, they're incredibly pro-Caesar, furious he's been assassinated, and they take to the streets. They riot in the streets, and the first person they meet and kill is an artist. So I think in many ways what we're seeing is the play points to also the ways in which furor like this helps lead us away from critical thinking and thoughtful discussion.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Here's the director of the Public Theater, Oscar Eustace, again, talking to the audience on Monday night, saying that he wanted the play to serve as a kind of warning to its viewers.
One of the dangers that is unleashed by that is the danger of a large crowd of people manipulated by their emotions, taken over by leaders who urge them to do things that not only are against their interest, but destroy the very institutions that are there to serve and protect them. This warning is a warning that's in this show, and we're really happy to be playing that story for you tonight.
There from the Public Theater in New York. James Shapiro, the fragility of the rule of law comes through as strongly as a theme here, and not the least offense being the assassination, but also, you know, Caesar's own handling of the Republic, and then the deluge that follows. Relevant, resonant with our time right now?
It is, and I couldn't agree more with Charlotte's point about the killing of Sinna the poet after the assassination. I think that was a scene that was never staged until Orson Welles brought it back in 1937. And watching a poet stopped in the street, stopped and searched, if you will, and terrorized in the aftermath of this violent outpouring is also something Shakespeare put in this play. And this play offers a warning to us. It is, I hope, a moment where we can, instead of pull further apart, turn to the arts, go to see that production in Boston, go to see the ones. I hope this one transfers to Broadway so thousands of people can reflect on these issues that we're talking about here. They're crucial to the health of our nation.
Boy. Jim in Sumter, South Carolina. Jim, you're on. Time is short.
Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just want to tell you that I really object to not only you, but all the people in the media that are referring to our president of the United States by his name only and not giving him the respect that he deserves.
President Trump, right there. I mean, we say, come on, we said President Obama and Obama. We say President Trump and Trump. But okay, but what about the play, Jim?
You didn't let me finish.
I'm trying.
But I said also, referring to President Obama, it's not Trump. It's not Donald. It is President Trump.
Okay, I mean, we're I take your point, but we're a little beyond that right now on this point and on this play. I want to play one more clip from the 1953 film adaptation. This is Marlon Brando. On the other side of assassination, this foul deed, Mark Antony calls it here, delivering his famous Dogs of War, let slip the dogs of war. Havoc comes after the assassination. Here, Brando is Mark Antony.
Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar, that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war, all pity choked with custom of fell deed, and Caesar's spirit, ranging for revenge with Ate by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry, Hamlet! And let slip the dogs of war. That this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial.
Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war on the other side of assassination. Charlotte Canning, this wraps up on Monday. Do you think it'll be picked up with this kind of explicit depiction elsewhere in these times?
Well, we can only hope so. I mean, I think this is exactly the kinds of conversations we need to be having right now. And since ancient Greece, theater has been a way for a democracy to come together and rehearse through the theater what might happen outside the theater.
Hot times and hot drama centuries after its writing. Charlotte Canning at the University of Texas at Austin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
James Shapiro at Columbia, thank you very much, James Shapiro, for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Michael Paulson at the New York Times, theater reporter there. Michael, thank you very much for your time with us today.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.